Tappers, what's up? How's everybody doing? It is Thursday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. If you are still needing a gift for your significant other, you can always give them a subscription to Snowtap WI Network, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify yet. We'll work on that. That was something I tried and then didn't work, but we'll try to get on Spotify sooner rather than later, so you guys have another way to listen. But regardless, we have multiple ways where you can put Snowtap WI in your significant other's phone and be like, babe, I got you this. It's a great listen of Wisconsin sports, and you're just going to enjoy it. So hopefully you are having a good Valentine's Day, whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship. May it be good to you. All right, we're going to chat about sports love, who do I love in sports? What I love about sports, but players, might be a little coaches. We'll kind of explain that. Talk about the Bucks' big win against the Pacers last night. Really great win for Milwaukee, and really one that I think was a message sent, but B, I really think it shows you why this Bucks team can go far in the postseason. Finally, we'll look at the Pocota rankings, which came out yesterday for the Milwaukee Brewers. Some interesting notes about the National League Central. We'll dip our toes in that as well. All right, so sports love is the way I define, like, when you love a player or you like a player and it's one of your favorites. I think we all like the really, really good players. Like, we all like Giannis Antetokounmpo. We all like Christian Yelich. We all like Aaron Rodgers. Those guys are the obvious ones. We don't need to talk about that because you like those players. That's, you know, you're every fan. Every fan likes those guys. Like, that's, you're not uncommon. What's fun is when you like a player that is not necessarily of the elite, that you like him or her, if you're a, you know, female sports fan, that is, you know, of the sort of second tier, because those are sort of the, you know, you draw a bond to it. I always remember I wanted a Brewers jersey really bad. I think it was right around 18, 19, and I didn't want Ryan Braun because everybody had a Ryan Braun jersey. So for me, it was between Giovanni Gallardo or Corey Hart. And I chose Corey Hart, funny, on Valentine's Day, Corey Hart. But Corey Hart was my dude. Like, I love Corey Hart. And not everybody was the biggest Corey Hart fan, but I was. So I had a Corey Hart jersey. Still do somewhere around. And now it's kind of, he's now retired, where I think it's okay to now wear a Corey Hart jersey because it's almost a little bit of a throwback. I'm not a big fan of wearing jerseys of guys who are still in the league. Like, if I went to a Bucks game with Mitch and he was rocking his Thon Maker jersey, I'd be like, the fuck you doing? Now, if he's rocking his Brandon Jennings, I'd be like, eh, that's fine. Brandon Jennings is in the league. That's okay. It's fun at that point. So that's kind of the basis of this. So to start with the Bucks right now, I would say my sports love is Pat Connaughton. Like, Pat Connaughton has been sort of a Snowtap WI favorite. Like, Murph, Mitch, myself, all of them. Mitch's would probably be Brook Lopez. He's a big Brook Lopez guy. But anyways, Connaughton's awesome. Like, anytime Connaughton's a factor for the Bucks, it's really great. He's a lot of fun to watch. He can do it all. Shoot threes, dunk. He's the man. I really enjoy Pat Connaughton. For a Marquette pick, I would say Sakar Anem. It's between Sakar Anem and Theo John. But Sakar, man, just, he has the ability to just kind of quietly take over games and just start getting buckets. And he does so many of the little things. He's just a joy to watch. As for the Brewers, so I had trouble with the Brewers, weirdly enough, because I was like, who is really that guy? Like, and I mean, I'm always a Ryan Braun forever, but, like, that kind of goes against it. Or is Ryan Braun a secondary option at this point because he's not the same player that he was? Now, Fangraphs wrote an article that said, don't sleep on him for next year. that I still have to read. But the so I'm like, well, is it Ryan Braun? If I didn't, I would kind of defer this pick to my father, who is the biggest Hernan Perez fan I've ever seen in my life. He loves Hernan Perez. I can't explain it. I don't know if it's a dad thing. Like, if anyone else has a dad who likes Hernan Perez, please let me know. I would love to hear it. But I will defer it to my dad. And if I had to say a Brewer, I'd probably say Ryan Braun. Because I have said in the past that we are going to have a bar crawl honoring Ryan Braun's career at some point. Mitch and I have said that like 2 years ago when there was talks of Ryan Braun getting traded. We're like, you know what? If he leaves, we're having a bar crawl in his memory because he is the underappreciated athlete in the state of Wisconsin for a stupid PED thing that really doesn't matter, especially when your favorite NFL athletes do it too. As for the Packers, I would say Mike Daniels by far. That's the easiest answer of this whole. He is kind of the Corey Hart of this generation for me, of like a guy who I've really liked for a while now. He has my jersey number that I wore in high school and not in college. I was 74 in college, but I was 76 in high school. I love the number 76. I grew fond of it as a playing three, starting 3 years at Wauwatosa West. And so I kind of love Mike Daniels for it. It's a weird thing. I don't know if I can really explain it. You kind of just, like, I hate the guys who are like, well, if you didn't play football, you don't understand this. But it's just kind of like one of those things. Like, when a guy wears your number, you just draw an affinity towards him, especially if he's a good player, especially if he works his ass off like Daniels does. Like, I know that there are people out there who've either played basketball, baseball, football, and understand this and say, he's wearing my number, and that's my number. Whether it's 76, 15 is another number that I love. It's my birthday date. So that's that. But I don't get as wrapped up in it because you see a lot of 15s. 76 is not one that has it. I see Murph's boy Beho follows us on Twitter. He has the brother of 52. He has a very strong thing for the number 52. So like that's just how it is. And so with Mike Daniels, I don't think I'd get a jersey. Like I hate to sound like a douchebag here, but like I'm kind of over jerseys. I'm 30 years old. I'm going to be 31 in August. Like I just don't think I'd wear a jersey until I like start having kids. Like I think there is this gap of non-jersey wearing. But I would love to have some Mike Daniels memorabilia around my house whenever I actually get a place to host all my sports things. Right now, it just sits in my basement because I don't have a room. I really should make the office sort of that, but Morgan just has not got on board with it. So we'll see. We'll probably try again during like spring cleaning season and be like, hey, I kind of use this room more than you do, but we wouldn't bring that up on Valentine's Day. You know, not a good conversation. For Badger football, Badger basketball, I cover them, but you know, guys, I don't really love the Badgers. So I don't have an answer for that. Badger football, I always liked Andrew Van Ginkel. He's now graduated. He's going to maybe get drafted. Van Ginkel was a lot of fun. He was a really good player. Great edge rusher on the outside. Always seemed to make plays. Had a fun look to him. Was a Van Ginkel guy last year. I thought about other teams or just other guys in the national landscape who maybe aren't loved or it's not as adored. Boogie Cousins came to mind for me. I don't know why I like Boogie Cousins. I just always think he's a really good player. I think he has a bad rap and he had a really bad situation in Sacramento and he's obviously flourishing for Golden State. The Warriors are undefeated when Cousins is in the lineup with their entire team. This guy's loved by a lot, so this is probably my most popular answer, but I really enjoy Juju Smith-Schuster. I just love the way he plays the game, and I also had him on like three fantasy teams this year, and he was obviously really good. And so that to me is like, it makes it more fun, and it makes you kind of endear yourself to a guy. David Johnson was like that for a while. Le'Veon Bell also had that similar love back in the day, like winning fantasy championships with those guys. Baseball, I was trying to think about who really, and I looked at it from like a DraftKings perspective and everything. Like Jacob DeGrom, I think, is that answer. I love Jacob DeGrom. I think Jacob DeGrom's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I was really fired up. Madison Bumgarner, too. I just am very much impressed. I kind of hate that he's like a red ass, but I love how he pitches in the postseason. So I'd say Bumgarner, DeGrom for sure. So those are my sports loves. I'd love to hear who you guys love. And remember, how we do this is don't look at like the Rodgers, Yelich, Giannis's of the world. We all love those guys. Look at who's that secondary guy that you really show a lot of love to. All right, moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Bucks had themselves a great win in Indiana. Not a good win, a great win. So the Bucks were down 86-76 in the third quarter. Kind of looked like the Pacers had flipped the script. It was kind of a disappointment. Bucks had led by 10 at halftime. It seemed like the Bucks were going to win this one, and then the Pacers flipped this whole game. Now, what I appreciated about Mike Budenholzer and this team where they figured out a way to unlock the offense and defense against Indiana. They went big. They went with Brook Lopez, Ersan Ilyasova, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Ersan playing clutch minutes when he's been slumping for so long was a great boat of confidence. And Ersan played really well, 11 points, 5 rebounds. But a lot of what Ersan was doing will not show up in the box score. He was just getting to his spots. He was taking charges. He was making plays and being an aggressive force inside for the Bucks. And he played a part in the Bucks going on a 30-11 run and winning this game. Giannis was amazing last night. No answer for Giannis. 33 points, 19 boards, 11 assists. He nearly pulled off the third 30-20-10 in the last decade. David Lee and Boogie are the only two others to have done that. So Giannis, what more can you say, right? Like, he was a bully down there. Indiana, who did a good job against him the last time around, did not do so well the third time. Thad Young and Miles Turner are just not big enough to contain Giannis for an entire game. And Giannis has continued to get better, and he continues to be a machine. And I feel like with the way the Bucks figured out how to beat the Pacers late, with the way Giannis played, I think it's a major message to the rest of the league, being like, okay, you want to say Philly's the favorite in the East. You want to say that Boston's going to figure it out. You want to say that Toronto is better than the Bucks. Okay, we're still going to give you the business. We're going to still kick your ass each day. The Bucks have not lost a team twice this year. The Bucks have a 7-game road winning streak. They've won 7 of their last 8 games to finish off the All-Star break. They're coming home to Boston, where it will be a rowdy fucking crowd in a week. The Bucks are a machine, and they are a wagon. We've said that for so long here, but I think it was just a reminder of how good this team was. This is a playoff-like atmosphere, as the broadcast, as Marcus Johnson pointed out. And the Bucks handled their business. They took care of what they needed to do, and they did it with a crazy run to finish the game. Also, too, before we head to the Brewers, I did want to shout out George Hill, who had a spectacular end of the third quarter and really played a large part in keeping the Bucks in this game. So George Hill deserves a lot of credit for the way he played in this one. So to wrap up the show, the Milwaukee Brewers, rankings are out. The Brewers, obviously, there are moves still to be made. It's crazy that pitchers and catchers reported when you don't even have Bryce Harper or Manny Machado on teams. It's wild. I think hopefully they'll be signed by the time we do Tabbing the Keg next week, but I think it's something that I really want to talk about with Mitch. I think it's a longer form conversation. But Pecota, which has been in an intro, basically Pecota breaks down where they see from a depth chart perspective. They get everything together and they look at what, you know, the rank should be for the remainder of the season. Now, obviously, this could change. It could be altered with moves being made. But right now, they have the Brewers winning the division at 88-74. It would be the fourth best record in the big leagues, or I'm sorry, in the NL. They would finish one game ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals. But interestingly enough, they have the Chicago Cubs finishing dead last with an 80-82 record. So Pecota also has the margin of the first place and last place team of 8 games. When you have so many, really the NL Central and the NL East have 5 teams and 4 teams that are going for it right now. So they are very high on teams. So if the playoffs started tomorrow, how Pecota sees this year breaking down are the Dodgers, Nationals, Brewers, and then the 2 wild card games, or the wild card would be between the Mets and the Cardinals. The Brewers and Nationals would be playing. So the fact the Mets are up there is very surprising to me. I know the Mets have made some moves. I didn't know that they would be ahead of Atlanta and Philadelphia. So that's very interesting from the National League. And it shows, I know some people have pointed to Fangraphs and said Fangraphs only had us at 84 wins. And I think their over-under is around 83, 84. But it does seem like Vegas and others are getting on board with the Brewers. The Brewers' World Series odds are only 16-1, so they're under that 20-1 threshold. So I don't think there is a disrespect for the Brewers. I think that would be a very bad take by anyone you see in the media who says Brewers don't have any respect, or a caller calls in and says that. That isn't true. There is a lot of numbers and metrics from advanced perspectives and also, too, from just overall how Vegas is seeing it, that it's not accurate. So I do think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. Pecota is usually pretty right. They've definitely had some misfires. I think the year the Royals went to the World Series, Pecota thought they'd only win somewhere between like 68 and 75 games. So take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, maybe we'll revisit it if Bryce Harper and Manny Machado do sign with National League teams. But obviously Harper more than Machado. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. And who knows? Maybe the Brewers make some moves. I mean, we've heard about this Dallas Keuchel thing, I think, for like 2 weeks. He got brought up again for the Braves and a potential Craig Kimbrell reunion. Obviously, that might change how the Braves look in Pecota. All right, so that does it. We'll be back with the weekend watch list. Gotta be honest, not the best weekend for sports, but we'll still talk about it. We'll kind of do a little bit more of a unique watch list on Friday, and then we'll be back with a free talk on Saturday. Did not get one last week. Should be able to get one. It also helps that there are no college basketball games for the Wisconsin sports landscape this weekend. All right, take care, guys. Have yourself a great Valentine's Day. We'll talk tomorrow.